This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. COVID-19 infections are hitting rural communities especially hard. A team of researchers at the University of Cincinnati has found that in parts of the country where the virus is surging, residents in rural communities are dying at higher rates than those in urban areas. I spoke earlier with one of those researchers, and here is our recorded conversation. And we're joined now by Dr. Diego Cuadros, Assistant Professor of Health Geography and Disease Modeling at the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Cuadros, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So you decided to take a look at what is characterized in this report from the University of Cincinnati as a unique COVID risk for rural America, and you found that mortality rates are higher in rural areas. Talk to us a little bit about why you thought you needed to look at this.
Okay, so everything started when the pandemic started in March. So we decided to conduct some analysis. We are using mathematical modeling and also statistics to analyze the behavior of the epidemic. So we started with Ohio, analyzing some data from the Ohio Health Department and trying to identify some differences between rural and urban areas. And we identify some interesting differences, like for example, the epidemic was spreading faster in urban areas than in rural areas. Actually, the epidemic was very, very slow, was diffusing very slow in rural areas. But it was very early in the epidemic, in the early stage of the epidemic. And then the epidemic continues evolving and changing over time. So we decided to study these dynamics, these changes for the entire country to see if what we're finding in Ohio was exactly the same in the entire US, particularly because, again, at the beginning of the epidemic, the northern part of the country was the part that was experiencing the highest burden of the disease. But then by the summer, it seems that the epidemic was more concentrated in the southern part of the country. So we decided to conduct this analysis, again, trying to have these differences between urban and rural areas. And what we observe is that the epidemic is changing, and even though that at the beginning was very slow, the transmission was very slow in the rural areas, the epidemic was actually starting taking off in these rural areas, and also the mortality. But something very important is that, again, the epidemic doesn't behave exactly the same everywhere. And what we're finding is that in states in which the epidemic is concentrated in those states in the southern part of the country, actually is where rural counties are the ones experiencing a very high number of cases, but also a very high mortality rate.
This was something that you recognized really early in the pandemic's arrival in America, that
yes,
back in March, you thought that this was something that you needed to study. And I'm just curious, you know, as someone who's not a scientist, but a media guy who was observing and unsure about where this was going, what gave you an indication that we were going to be dealing with this for a while and it was something that should be investigated?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is actually a great question. First, we need to understand that this infection, this virus, was something new in human populations. So we have never experienced this virus before. Again, it was a new epidemic. So in humans, we have a lot of different diseases that have been in human populations for many years, like, for example, HIV, malaria, even just the common flu, the seasonal flu, and other respiratory infections. But this coronavirus was something new, something that we didn't understand very well. So when the virus started emerging, for example, in China, and then something that started being of some concern was that the virus started moving to other countries. So it was not just in China when we just try to remember what happened in February, but then some countries in Europe start reporting this infection is when particularly our scientists realized that we were going to face with something very complicated because it was going to be very difficult to contain. So sometimes, like for example, if we think about Ebola that happened in 2014 in Africa, the Ebola outbreak. So it was kind of difficult situation and concerning situation, but because it didn't spread too much to other countries, it was kind of contained in West Africa. So we actually were able to contain the epidemic and actually avoid a pandemic like the one that we are experiencing now. But with coronavirus was different because of course it's more infectious and it's kind of like a very difficult to contain. So what happened is that it escaped from China and started being reported in other countries in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and then unfortunately here in the US. So by March, the WHO decided to call for a pandemic situation. And again, controlling a pandemic is something extremely, extremely difficult because we have the infection everywhere. So that's the moment that, in my lab with my collaborators here in the University of Cincinnati, decided to start working on this. So then that's why by later April, we were not only interested again in the and to see the changes in the diffusion of the disease, but also in trying to understand these differences between urban and rural communities.
We're talking with Diego Quadros, an assistant professor of health geography and disease modeling at the University of Cincinnati. He and his team conducted some research recently and found that rural America faces a unique COVID-19 risk in that its mortality rate appears to be higher. And Dr. Quadros, tell us a little bit about why rural areas are more vulnerable.
Yes, this is actually a great question, and maybe one of the most difficult questions to answer, because again, we're dealing with something that is new. So I want to highlight that. And that's why, you know, like we're just learning when the pandemic is happening. So we're collecting the data, trying to understand what is happening. And now trying to understand the factors that produces this higher risk of, for example, mortality in particular areas is very complicated. One of the potential reasons is that we know that rural areas have a lower healthcare capacity. And this is definitely something very important and is something that is going to influence a lot the health outcome. So if a person has infection and has infection complications and needs like hospitalization or specific healthcare, access to this healthcare is going to be crucial to avoid more complications and potential death. So we know that, again, rural areas are facing this lower healthcare capacity that, again, could influence and could increase the mortality rate in those areas. Another potential point, this is just thinking about other potential factors, is that because at the beginning, rural areas were not experiencing a high burden of the disease. If we remember, it was more like urban and metropolitan areas were the ones experiencing a very large number of infections. Then maybe rural areas were kind of like relaxed in terms of the interventions that we were trying to implement, like social distances, like the use of masks, and this kind of what we call non-pharmaceutical interventions. Since we don't have a vaccine and since we don't have a very good treatment for COVID-19, we try to implement these non-pharmaceutical interventions, like, again, particularly social distances, masks, and these type of interventions.
Dr. Quadros, you've been quite focused on the coronavirus since its emergence here in our country, but also in your native Colombia. The University of Cincinnati produced a feature article about you and your parents and sort of the warning sign you gave them, because we all maybe got a little bit ahead of ourselves in the late spring, early summer, when a lot of the restrictions had been lifted, the case numbers had gone down. But you saw that there was no time for celebration, and you warned your parents of that. Can you talk a little bit about how you've had to communicate with your parents in another country as this pandemic impacts so many parts of this hemisphere right now?
Yes. This is the difficult part, you know, because it's not just the U.S. or it's not just a particular country experiencing this situation. We are all in this situation. Here in America, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, we are all experiencing the same. And for example, that my parents are in Latin America, particularly in Colombia. So for example, I cannot travel to Colombia to see how they are. They are quite old, so it's one of the most vulnerable population in terms of this infection. So I'm quite concerned about them. And that's why I try to tell them, even though, you know, like maybe because the economy, maybe because it's quite difficult to sustain these kind of lockdowns and these kind of quarantines for too much time, even for mental health and many other factors. But still, the most important part is that vulnerable population, like older people, need to really be careful. And that's why my main recommendations about my parents, because also Colombia was lifting the quarantine, what I told them is that they definitely need, the best strategy is to stay at home, to try to avoid, public places when and the risk of infection is very high. So yeah, that was my main recommendations for them. And I talk to them all the time, try to guide them about what to do, how to, you know, to behave in these kind of situations.
Well, it's a fascinating story. I hope that you are able to see your parents in Colombia very soon. And we do thank you for coming on and sharing your research with us. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Our guest has been Dr. Diego Quadros, an assistant professor of health geography and disease modeling at the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Quadros, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure talking to you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.